Thanks for joining us and have a good day.
And now, it's your turn with Dave Mullarkey. 724-283-2525. It's Butler County's only live call-in talk show. It's your turn. Weekdays from 12:30 to 2 on 680 AM WISR and worldwide on the internet at WISR680.com. It's your turn. 724-283-2525. And now, it's your turn with Dave Mullarkey.
Good afternoon once again, everyone. Welcome. Nice to have you with us. It's the Tuesday edition of It's Your Turn. Boy, another gray day. And starting to look a little threatening out there. We don't see anything in our immediate area on radar at this point, but we'll keep an eye out for you. It's that kind of weather where things can pop up pretty quickly, sometimes out of nowhere. Yesterday, we ended up not getting too much rain during the first wave, right around noontime. Got a little bit late morning, early afternoon. But the big blast came about 4 o'clock yesterday. Now, depending on where you are, a little later, but around 4 o'clock, that's when we got the warning from the National Weather Service, severe thunderstorm, and we got nailed again, didn't we? Yeah, with the very strong gusty winds and downpours and power outages and well, we may see that today. We may not. We'll just have to keep an eye on things for you. We will do that. Right now, the only significant activity that we see is down around southern Indiana, southern Ohio, Cincinnati, Dayton. It doesn't appear that that's headed in our direction, that particular system anyway. So we'll keep an eye out for you. I'll let you know. It certainly does look a little dark and gloomy, though, here at this hour. And it's quite warm. If you haven't been outside, you know, just looking out the window, dark, gloomy, you would be surprised how humid and sticky it is out there. Very, very uncomfortable. Well, it's the middle of July, and it seems like we're settling into a wet summer. It's certainly been that way thus far. May and June, very wet, and July starting out even worse than those two, all the rain we've had, so you get these sorts of summers every once in a while. You just have to kind of grin and bear it. There's certainly nothing we can do about it, huh? Well, we're certainly getting a lot of help in terms of our flood cleanup for those affected by the floodwaters of late last week. Here in the city of Butler, the Red Cross, they're going to be shutting up their service center late this afternoon, about 5 o'clock. It initially was at the Central Fire Station over the weekend. They moved it to Broad Street School. They're going to be shutting that down later on today. But as you heard yesterday here on the program, the Rubicon volunteers, Team Rubicon volunteers, are in to Butler, and they are helping out as of today. Got a couple of dozen folks from, and not only the tri-state area, but some from out of state, too, helping out as needed, where people still need help getting damaged stuff out of their basement or out of their home. And as you drive through the west end of the city, Butler in particular, you see still piles of furniture and bedding and stuff like that all destroyed in the flood. And as we heard yesterday, a few spots in Butler Township with also some flood damage. Probably the most noticeable, although they were going to start to clean it up today, according to Commissioner Dave Zarnick, the stretch along the lower parts of Whitestown Road from the Lindora Fire Hall and the Lindora Post Office on down to Hanson Avenue. They got inundated with debris that came flying down the creek, that unnamed stream that runs behind the Lindora Post Office. So just a real mess, from the floods. And if you have not experienced flooding in the past, or maybe, God bless you, never, it's just a really messy thing. I grew up in a river town along the Allegheny River, and at least when I was a young child, they still had floods on a regular basis, and just horrible. It's just devastating. It's ugly, it's messy, it's smelly, it's open talk on the first portion of the program today. 283-2525 is our number. 283-2525. We will have guests later. We've been looking for someone to talk about dreams. This came up on the program, a month or two ago. I think it was back in May, sometime this spring. And we started talking a little bit about dreams and how do you interpret dreams and so on. And I said, I've always been fascinated. Maybe we can find somebody to come on. We have. His name is Jason DeBord, J.M. DeBord is what he goes by, J.M. And we will talk with him a little bit later on the program, about a half an hour or so, about dreams. He's actually written a dream interpretation dictionary. It's a thick book, big. So we'll talk about that a little bit. Do you dream a lot? No? Sometimes. I think everybody dreams occasionally. Do you remember your dreams? Do you ever write them down? I mean, are they that vivid that you've written them down? Sometimes I wish I had, because then, you know, by the next day or the next week, you know, they're gone. The memory's gone. Still there in your head, one would think. Right? But you just can't unlock it. That's why I think dreams are so fascinating. They, you know, those ideas are in our head. They have to be there, for goodness sakes. They don't come out of nowhere. And yet in our conscious state, you know, in our daily lives, we either inhibit them or we don't acknowledge them. We don't allow them to come to the surface. But when we're asleep, some of those inhibitions drop away and here come these thoughts, huh? Sometimes nightmares. I'm not bothered with nightmares a lot. I mean, I think everybody gets one once in a while. I'm not bothered with them a lot. There was a time when I was a kid and I was bothered by them a little bit. But regular dreams, yeah, strange. Interesting. I don't know. What makes you dream? I don't know. Are there certain foods that you eat? You eat before you go to bed? Is that gonna? I don't know what makes you dream, or what opens you up more to dreaming. And we'll talk about that a little bit later with J.M. DeBord, who will be with us on the program. And later still on the program today, we'll have guests from the Butler County Chamber of Commerce visiting with us today. Stan Kosciuszko, who's the president, Karen Brackett, and Kyle Hilfiger. All scheduled to join us today on the 1:30 segment of the program. Open talk right now. 283-2525 is our number. 283-2525. Did anybody watch the History Channel on Sunday night with the Amelia Earhart special? I did not. I had other things to do at that hour. I suppose I should have taped it since we were talking about it last week. I'm just not a big, fan of the History Channel, and I certainly don't give it a whole lot of reliability in terms of, I mean, it just, so much of it just seems faked to me, the stuff that I see on there. And I don't know, in my system, I'm an Armstrong customer, so you got to click past it to get to some of the channels that I want to see, and, you know. They've got people dressed up in biblical robes marching around, and that's supposed to be, you know, the story of Moses. They got the American Pickers. They got the pawn shop guys, whatever they are. It just doesn't seem to me to be a real reliable network. But it was supposed to be a pretty good show. If anybody saw it, fill us in. 283-2525. To the people we go. Hi there, caller. This is Dave. Go right ahead. It's your turn. You're on the air. Hello?
Hello?
Yes, go right ahead. You're on the air. Getting a little bit of echo there. Hello, can you hear me now?
Yeah, I guess I was having a problem with my phone. I don't know.
That's okay. Just so we're working now, that's all we need to know.
Well, I have three stories from the morning paper that I hope you don't mind my quoting them, but The absurdity of these stories are beyond my comprehension.
Sure, go right ahead.
The first one is this woman, 38-year-old woman in Penn Hills, Pennsylvania, outside of Pittsburgh. She dumped gasoline on her boyfriend who's living with her in her parents' apartment. apart house.
Yeah, I'm
and then she ignited it.
Familiar with the story, yeah.
And the thing is, she used the urine they had stored around to put out the flames.
Your first thought has to be, what kind of people are these, you know?
Yes.
Yeah.
Now, but I can see she's probably has enormous problems, this woman. Now, the second story is the Vatican has ruled that there must be gluten in the wafers they serve at Mass.
Mm-hmm.
Why?
Well, I'm no Vatican expert, but I would imagine because it's wheat, and wheat has gluten in it, right?
Yes. But isn't it all symbolic anyways?
Well, I don't think that the Vatican feels that way.
Obviously not, which is a strange story in and of itself. The third one is the Trump sons had his campaign advisors had meetings with this Russian woman, I guess, a lawyer, but Trump didn't know anything about it. Now, which is the true story, and why are they all true?
Well, I heard this story, and quite frankly, I don't really pay much attention anymore because you can't believe anything Trump says, quite frankly. I mean, I don't care whether you're a Trump fan or whether you can't stand the guy. How can you believe anything that he says?
Well, I think he is the black hole.
Well, he contradicts himself constantly. Just a couple of days ago, after he met with Putin, he said, well, we're going to collaborate on some kind of a impenetrable cybersecurity system. That was in the headlines, and there were even reaction from some Republican senators. Ted Cruz, for example, had a funny line about it. He said it was like collaborating with Assad on a chemical weapon ban.
Yeah, I heard all that. Yeah.
And now, yesterday afternoon, Trump says, "No, we're not cooperating with any cybersecurity thing." So, which is it? I mean, it's nonsense. It's just I don't get myself into a stir about it anymore because you can't believe anything the guy says.
Well, unfortunately, it involves all of us. To that point, right?
Well, I think if he just
as to his actions, we don't know what's going on. He sucks everything, as I say, he's like a black hole. He sucks all this falsity, truth, everything into him, and nothing comes out like a black hole. It's just nothing there we can deal with as a society.
Well, what can I say?
It's awful, but I mean, the idea that you can meet your family, can meet with the Russian and your advisors in your political system, can meet with these people, and you say, I don't know anything about it. I wasn't there, and I didn't hear anything about it.
Do you find that plausible at all?
No.
Well, of course not. It's absolutely implausible.
But why do people not say this? Why would you?
I think most people do. Most people realize, of course he knew about it. You know, don't be an idiot. How could he not know about it? I mean, I don't really care what he says. I mean, obviously we did. You know?
Yes, unfortunately. But I think those three stories, the implausibility of those three stories are beyond. I was sitting here thinking about this all day long. You know, what is going on? It gets worse and worse every, seems like, continues to get more exuberant in our looking at the world. There's nothing we can. The idea of fake news is not, there is no such thing anymore, right?
It's true. Hey, thanks,
yeah,
thanks, my friend.
Thank you for taking my call.
Oh, it's good to talk with you. Thanks.
Goodbye.
283-2525 is our number. It's Open Talk on the program today. 283-2525. Caller, thanks for your patience. I know you've been waiting a while. This is Dave. Go right ahead. It's your turn.
Hi, Dave. How are you doing today?
Just fine. Nice to talk to you, my friend.
Oh, good. Can you imagine if Mark Twain was alive today? His commentaries on the politicians and that, black holes.
It would be pretty amazing, yeah.
Well, I'm not sure about this, Dave, but I heard you and Kate this morning on Coffee with Kate about mm-hmm. the postal workers, escorting Kate out under an umbrella.
Oh, yes, yes. We were kind of joking about it. Yeah, or I was joking
right,
about it.
Yeah, and you said our tax dollars at work.
Mm-hmm.
I believe, Dave, that the Postal Service is no longer a government entity.
It operates under its own. Yeah, you're right about that. Yeah.
I talked to a post mistress, here in Saxonburg a couple years ago, because I was under the impression that it, it was a federal government whatever. And they said, no. I mean, and I believe it was even during Coffee with Kate, then the Postal Service had a commercial on, and I don't think any government, bureau or entity or anything like that is allowed to,
I don't know how separate they are. By the way, you're absolutely right, and my comment would have been incorrect, was incorrect. I was just kind of joking. I mean, I wasn't.
I know, but I mean, just like when I asked the young lady, I mean, it was just like a, that's like common knowledge,
Well, I think I think there might be a distinction there. And by the way, I'm scheduled to have another interview with the Butler Postmaster here in another few weeks. So I will ask him about that. The government no longer subsidizes the postal system. In other words, there was a time up until, right. I think it was about 20 years ago, roughly, where they ran short of cash, they gave them an advance and so on and so forth. Now it's self-supporting. But if the postal system wants to raise the price of a stamp, for example, they just can't do it. They have to get it approved by Congress and the federal government. So obviously they're still governed by them. And my guess is that the post offices and the delivery trucks and everything else is owned by the federal government. That would be my guess. Some post offices are in rented space, but most of them are government property. The Butler Post Office, for example, that's government property. That's not leased space. So I think there's still a tie-in, but the government doesn't bail them out anymore if they run short of cash, operational.
Right.
Cash.
I remember that the subsidies. I'm going to have to do some looking myself to see, if and when the government did have, complete ownership and control of it, I guess.
That would be interesting.
Just like you said, I mean, with the equipment and the buildings and so on, yeah, I can see that,
And don't you think it's funny? I don't have anybody in my family that works in the postal system. By the way, the letter carriers that I've had in my life and the postal people that I know are great people. So please don't take my remark this morning as anything other than a joke. they're treated. I don't think they're treated very fairly. I mean, the federal government says, "Okay, we're not gonna support you anymore with cash." But you have to come to us anytime you want to, raise the cost of a stamp. Well, that's baloney, isn't it? I mean, how can they be self-supporting if they, if they see they're running low on cash? And by the way, the government also forces them to have money in reserves for their pension payments for like the next 20 years or something like that. No other branch of the federal government is forced to do that. So, let them fly on their own. Let them set their own rates and be independent, or else the opposite. One of the two. It seems kind of stupid to make it half and half. You know what I mean?
Yeah, kind of like your previous caller brought up. It's just like, which is it? Which way do you want it, people? I think so many of us are so frustrated with it.
One of the problems that the Postal Service faces. And I sympathize with the folks. People are using regular mail a lot less than they did years ago. There are a lot of people that pay their bills automatically now, through deductions and so on and so forth, or internet banking. Right. They don't mail. When's the last time you wrote a letter and mailed it to somebody or got one in the mail from somebody? I get a card once in a while, birthday card or something like that, but a letter, I can't remember the last time I got a letter from anybody.
Right, yeah. You wouldn't think that the cost of a book of stamps or a roll of stamps would be that much, but you add all those up.
Absolutely,
and when people stop buying them, you know, they still have to pay for the electricity and the heat.
Mm-hmm.
So,
and
yeah, it's,
postal systems around the world are facing the same trouble. It's unfair for people to point to the U.S. postal system and say, well, it's mismanaged and blah, blah, blah. In Great Britain, in the United Kingdom, and I haven't checked on this in a couple of months, but they were in the process of trying to sell their, it's called the Royal Mail over there. Everything's royal, of course, owned by the government. And they were trying to sell it off because they're losing money hand over fist. The Irish mail system, which is called On Post, same thing. They're talking about closing all kinds of post offices because they're losing money hand over fist. So it's happening all over the world. People just aren't mailing as much stuff as they used to.
Right, right. And, yeah, that reminded me of the Pennsylvania Turnpike.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know the status of that now? Is it still a state-run thing? Or is it a...
Yeah, it is. There was a bid by, who was the governor? It wasn't Tom Ridge. No, it was Corbett, Tom Corbett. Who was trying to sell it off.
Privatize.
Yeah, privatize it. And he wanted to privatize the lottery system, too. None of those went through. I did see that there was one state that privatized their turnpike system. I think it was Indiana. They've been having all kind of problems with it. It just didn't work. It just fell flat. So,
right, right.
Kind of glad we hung on to it. On the other hand, we're in that mess with the... You know, the state lawmakers had planned to toll Interstate 80, and then the federal government refused permission to do that, but they had already made arrangements to make payments to the Turnpike Commission, and now the Turnpike's automatically raising these tolls every year. You know, the tolls go up 10-15%. And it's unsustainable.
Yep.
I mean, it's ridiculously high now, and in another few years, it's going to cost a fortune to drive even a short distance on the turnpike. So state lawmakers have to do something about that. They got to rectify that mistake somehow.
Yeah. Like I said, Dave, Mark Twain, I can just imagine.
You're right. Good point. I never thought about that. That makes me smile. Thanks, my friend.
Yeah.
Thanks.
All right. Have a good one.
And you, 283-2525 is the number, 283-2525. Mark Twain, of course, the humorist. What did I just see? Oh, gosh, where was that? Must have been in the Sunday newspaper. Maybe it was in a magazine. I'm not sure. It was within the past month or so. Somebody had a photograph of a check that Mark Twain had written to someone. And, of course, he used his real name on his check, Samuel L. Clemens. Samuel Langhorne Clemens, I think, is his full name. But quite the guy. Yeah, quite the guy. It would have been interesting to listen to him comment on what's happened with politics and with government, both at the state and the federal level over the past few years. State lawmakers and Governor Wolf, once again, for the second year in a row, the governor has let the state budget pass without his signature. I think there's, I think it's 10 days. I think it's 10 days after the legislature passes something, either a bill or a budget. The governor has 10 days to either sign it, veto it, or let it become law without his signature. Last year, he let the budget become law without his signature, and he did the same thing. The deadline was midnight this morning, or midnight last night, however you want to look at it. And he let it pass. Now, there's some question they still don't know how to pay for. They haven't approved the tax plan, whatever it's going to be, that'll pay for the budget. And they're still trying to figure that out in Harrisburg. And there's some question about whether the budget can legally become law without a plan to pay for. So I don't know where that's going to go. It's been a long time since we had a budget approved on time in Harrisburg. A long time. It's even worse at the federal level. They sometimes go years without, you know, they pass these supplemental budget bills, and we have all these mini crises, and then they get a temporary supplemental budget bill, and it keeps the government going. And what a way to run a railroad, huh? Yeah. Get together, figure out, and ask the tough questions, come up with the tough answers, and move on. Instead of just kicking the can down the road, you know. They play us for fools. They play us for goofballs. Well, maybe sometimes they're right. I don't know. 283-2525 is the number, 283-2525, open talk on the program today. It said there's not going to be any increase in the state income tax, and there's not going to be any increase in the sales tax. So how are they going to cover that estimated $2 billion gap in the spending plan? I don't know. You think it almost has to be an increase in the so-called sin taxes somewhere, whether it's tobacco, alcohol, or gambling. Of course, state officials, they don't use the word gambling. They say gaming. You know, we could expand gaming. That's gambling. They don't like to say gambling. It's what it is. And that's fine. I don't have any problem with the gambling, any ethical problem, just so you're not, you know, ruining your family by throwing all your money away. But you want to do a little gambling once in a while, that's fine. It's fun. 283-2525, 283-2525, open talk. Hi there, caller. This is Dave Malarkey. Go right ahead. It's your turn.
Hi, Dave. This is Spaceman.
Spaceman, how you doing? Are you back from outer space?
I just come in from Platonium. Platinum, yeah.
What's up, my friend?
What do you think of this marijuana deal, this recreational, non-medical? What's your idea on that?
Well, I don't think it's going to pass anytime soon in Pennsylvania, do you?
Well, if they look at it making money-wise, they're going to pass it in a heartbeat.
Oh, you mean they'd use like that to balance the budget, huh?
Money's the bottom line.
Well, I don't know. We had a hard time even approving medical marijuana in Pennsylvania. They tried to do that for several years before it was finally approved a year or so ago. And that's not even been rolled out yet, although it...
They're looking at the dollar signs.
Well, it could be. Yeah, it could be.
You want to hear something you're not going to believe?
What's that?
China. They eat dogs over there.
I've heard that, yeah.
And if a dog suffers, there goes the flag man. He carries the flag up and down Whitestown Road.
I've seen that guy, yeah.
Yeah, he's... If a dog suffers a whole lot, then the meat tastes, they claim the Chinese like it because it tastes better. Man, that's about as sick as you can get, you know?
It's an interesting thing to discuss. It's kind of, you know, it's disgusting for a lot of people. But, you know, some people might say the same thing about, well, for instance, in India, the cow is a sacred animal. And
well,
here in this country, we eat cows all the time, you know. Hamburgers, steaks, everything.
I'm going to be a vegetarian.
Well, for people in India, they find that disgusting. They can't imagine how we could do it. It doesn't bother us at all.
They can't afford to take the steps between the meat and the feeding the cows. They can't afford it. That's their problem over there.
Does anybody eat horse meat around the world? You know that?
Oh, yeah. That's big time. We're shipping them to the Japan.
Yeah. I'd heard that some Oriental countries, they eat the dog meat. I don't know. Different places, different customs, I guess.
This is really a crazy world anymore.
That's for sure.
Thank you, Dave.
Thank you, my friend. Thanks. 283-2525 is the number. Yeah, what customary in one country, you know, disgusting, and in others, against the law in many places, not in other countries. So who's right, who's wrong, I don't know. We're accustomed to what we do here in this country, what we're used to. We're accustomed to it. It can be a little strange in other places. It can be very strange in other places, as a matter of fact. Well, you know, there's even some countries in the road in the world where they drive on the other side of the road, for goodness sakes. What are they, nuts? Those people in England? What are they, nuts? Where do they drive on the opposite side? England, obviously, United Kingdom. Ireland drives on the other side of the road. And I think maybe Japan. I could be wrong on that. Bermuda, I think. Maybe. Was Bermuda a British colony? It was, wasn't it? Yeah. Maybe there. I'll have to check on Japan. it's not very many countries. But there's a lot of people, obviously. United Kingdom has a great population. How did they start driving on that side of the road? I don't know. Maybe they're the ones that started it, and we're the ones that changed it to the other side. I don't know. 283-2525 is the number, 283-2525. By the way, I've driven in many of those countries, and, you know, once you do it for a couple of hours, it's no big deal. You know, it's just, it's a little bit different for a while. The biggest trouble that I have is getting in the wrong side of the car, and that's kind of embarrassing when you come out of the supermarket or somewhere and you naturally walk up to what we would consider to be the driver's side. I've done this many times. You reach down, open the door, say, whoops, I'm on the wrong side. And you look around to see if anybody was watching you, you know. And there always is somebody laughing. 283-2525 is our number. It's open talk on this segment of the program today. Let's take a break. We shall be back with more on the Tuesday edition of It's Your Turn, the NWISR, in just a moment. One of our sponsors on the program is Butler Motor Tours. Butler Motor Tours. There's still time. Make a last-minute reservation to sail on the riverboat, the Twilight Riverboat. This is a big three-deck Mississippi riverboat, classic Mississippi riverboat. In fact, the vacation involves a two-day cruise on the upper Mississippi. Mm-hmm. This is in early August, so as I said, last-minute reservations have to scramble. Here's another one in August, a trip to the Skyline Drive, Shenandoah National Park, and Monticello. I get to go there sometime. That's Thomas Jefferson's home. He built it. He designed it, for goodness sakes. Monticello, that's a nice trip. That's a three-day trip. Very affordable, and that's the case with all of the vacations through Butler Motor Tours. They're fun. They're comfortable. You ride on their big luxury coaches, and they're affordable, too. Folks go with, obviously, a spouse or a companion or friends or a group from your church or your neighborhood. Butler Motor Tours. Want to check out some of their offerings? They've got several trips to New England coming up in late summer and in the fall. Yeah. Check out their website. It's butlerbus.com. Very easy to remember, butlerbus.com. Butler Motor Tours on South Monroe Street in Butler, butlerbus.com. It's open talk. Let's get back to the people here today. Hi, caller. This is Dave. Go right ahead. It's your turn.
Good afternoon, Dave.
Hi. Hi.
Hey, I was listening to the opinion program. You had Kathy Klein and other city councilmen on.
Yeah, Mike Walter and Dave Zornick were on with us yesterday. Yeah.
Yes, they were very interesting.
Thank you.
And you were Kathy couldn't think of the name of the market down there where it's down around Pizza Hut. That was Clues Market.
Oh, wow. I didn't know that. Could you spell that? Do you remember how it was spelled?
No, I don't know how. There's a couple ways to spell that, I think, and I'm not sure which way it is.
But you're saying like K-L-E-W, Clue? Is that what you're saying?
Yes, Clue. Okay. Clues Market.
And do you remember exactly where that would have been, sir?
I'm thinking right near where the Pizza Hut is now.
Okay. I think she was talking about, because we were talking about flooding in that area in decades gone by. She said she remembered a picture of the water up on the first floor of the Alhambra Hotel, which is right at the corner of Cunningham and Pillow Street. Yeah. So.
And just I want to throw one other thing in.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
With Ed Rendell and our Governor Wolf.
Mm-hmm.
They wrote a song about those two. Fairy tales can come true.
Well, those were the last two. Yeah, they were the last two Democratic governors, right?
Yes.
Because we had Tom Corbett in the middle, and before Rendell, it was Tom Ridge, of course.
Yes, it was.
And we seem to go back and forth here in Pennsylvania. We put the Republicans in for a while, and then we shift around and put the Democrats in. Then we go back the other way, too.
Well, I remember the PennDOT workers, they wasn't sure who was going to be governor. You know, they would take a chance and change their politics so they could keep their job. That's been a long time ago.
Hmm. Well, that's a sad thing when you have that kind of you know, patriot in the government patronage. But it happens. It happens at the federal level a lot.
Oh, absolutely.
And we just seem to, you know, we just seem to blink at it. I mean, there was somebody commenting to me the other day. We weren't on the air. Somebody saying, "Well, what about Trump? And he's got all of his family members in." And I said, "Hey, look at John F. Kennedy. He made his brother the Attorney General, Robert Kennedy, the Attorney General." Now, I don't think there's anybody else in the Kennedy family, but it's certainly not unprecedented. Although I do believe they changed the law, or they passed the law, after John F. Kennedy appointed his brother Attorney General. I think they passed the law where you're not allowed to have a relative be a cabinet member. I don't think.
So
I don't know.
But that was my comment, Dave, and there's some information.
Appreciate. I'll be seeing Councilwoman Klein here in a couple of weeks. If I remember, I'll pass that on to her. Clues Market, huh?
Yes.
Thanks, my friend.
Thank you. Have a good day.
And you. 283-2525 is the number. 283-2525. That's long before my time here in the city. I do remember the Alhambra Hotel, although for some reason I remembered it as being much bigger than it actually was. Somebody showed me a picture of it. I think it was Pat Collins from the Historical Society a year or so ago, and I said, "Oh, is that all the bigger it was?" I remembered it as this gargantuan building. Of course, when you saw something when you were a little kid, it was more gargantuan, right? It's like when you were a kid, you remember? It always seemed like there was a lot of snow on the ground. My goodness, we always had a foot of snow on the ground all winter long. Of course, we were only 3 feet tall back then, so it might have seemed like we had a lot more snow than we really did. More to come on It's Your Turn. Later on the program today, along about the bottom of the hour, we'll be talking with Stan Kosciuszko, the president of the Butler County Chamber of Commerce, will be with us. We'll also have other guests talking about some upcoming events. But after a quick break here, we are going to be talking about dreams, subject that came up on the program a few months back. And we found a guy to talk about it, dreams and interpreting dreams and so on. His name is Jason DeBoard. He goes by J.M. DeBoard. And we will be talking to him on the telephone coming up on the next segment of It's Your Turn here on WISR in just a couple of minutes. We'll be right back. We are speaking with physical medicine and rehabilitation specialist Dr. Edward Reedy from Tri-Rivers Surgical. Dr. Reedy, when should someone with neck pain seek treatment?
In terms of patients who are experiencing neck pain, they should see their doctor if they're over 50 and the symptoms last greater than 1 month, or if there's any new onset of pain in the arms associated with the neck pain. These would indicate perhaps more serious neurologic conditions that will probably require some testing. There's a variety of treatment options for chronic neck pain, starting with simple things such as physical therapy or anti-inflammatory medicines, and culminating occasionally with the need for injections or surgical intervention.
To learn more, call Tri-Rivers Surgical at their new office near the Clearview Mall in Butler, toll free 866-874-7483. That number again is 866-874-7483.
For more than 130 years, the name Concordia has meant quality care. Today, Concordia Visiting Nurses has provided high-quality, skilled nursing and a variety of therapy services to people in and around our community. Concordia Visiting Nurses is here to foster your recovery right in your own home. If you're in need of home health care, choose Concordia Visiting Nurses. Call toll-free at 1-877-352-6200.
We've been talking, and listeners, welcome on this segment of the It's Your Turn program here on WISR. My name is Dave Malarkey. The subject of dreams has come up on our program a number of times, especially in recent months, and we decided that we were going to do a segment on dream interpretation, and we have a pretty good guy, I think, to talk about that. He is J.M. DeBoard, who is the author of a number of books on dreams. He's also moderator of the Maine Dreams Forum at reddit.com, J.M. DeBoard. Nice to meet you, sir. Nice to have you with us for a while here on the It's Your Turn program today.
Thank you, Dave. It's my pleasure to be here.
You have published or will publish in the near future a new book, a dictionary. Tell us about this.
Yeah, it's out on the market. It's the Dream Interpretation Dictionary, Symbols, Signs, and Meanings. And it's really three books in one. You have the dictionary, which is very accessible for people. You know, you wake up from a dream, you have a symbol, you look it up, and hopefully the dictionary gives you an idea about what it can mean. And then you have another side of it, which is you need to understand some key concepts, an encyclopedia of concepts about dream interpretation and dream psychology. And then you need a guide for figuring out your dreams. So I put that in separately. You can read it first, and then it can help you to better understand the dictionary portion of it. Or you can also, you have it built into the very entries themselves. And what I'm trying to do at every step of the way is teach you how to reach the same conclusions that I do. So in other words, you become the dream expert, and you go ahead and interpret the symbols in your dream.
Would you categorize this book as a starting point for people who were interested in interpreting dreams? I mean, if nobody's ever done this before or read anything about it, is it a good place to start?
Absolutely, and that is the sort of reader that I really had in mind all along the way as I was writing it. I remember very well what it was like in my early days of dream interpretation, and all I had, Dave, I had like Sigmund Freud's Interpretation of Dreams, and I had, you know, I had Carl Jung, you know, something from some of his writings about the subject, and I would go through the indexes looking for any sort of reference to something that was in my dreams. Now, I could have made things a lot easier on myself if I would have already had my own dream dictionary out there so that I could just wake up and, you know, pop open to the entry and start from there. See, all the entries in the dream dictionary, they all tie together. So if you have a dream about, you know, your mother, well, your mother is a family member, so you can look up the entry for family. And then maybe the dream is in your family home or your childhood home, and those both have entries in the dream dictionary. Your mother is a woman, and the symbolism of her in your dream might just be generally related to the symbolism of a woman. So in most dream dictionaries, they fall a little short with tying all these ideas together. And this is the thing that can be very hard for a beginner to dream interpretation is, one, is they don't know how the authors have reached their conclusion. So I'm always teaching, and I want to show step by step, this is how it's done. And then, two, I wanted to give you an all-in-one reference that ties together all of these different ideas so that if you don't get what you need or the thing that rings the bell with you in one entry, then you can follow the trail throughout the book and tie together several entries, and hopefully that's what puts together the picture for you. So yes, it's very user-friendly and very friendly for the beginning dream interpretation student.
I can't imagine there's anybody out there listening to us, J.M. DeBoard, who hasn't awakened sometimes with a start and said, oh my gosh, that was so, it was such a vivid dream, and then wondered, maybe right then or maybe even sometime later that day or a week later, what it all meant. I mean, everybody dreams, right? Does everybody dream?
Yeah, everybody dreams, and most people, the dreams that really make them turn to a source such as myself and my books is that they do have that dream that they know it has a message to it. They know that it's important. There's no denying it, but they can't decode the language. See, dreams speak to you in a language of symbolism. They're basically taking recent memories, and they are encoding them into dream symbols and weaving the symbols together into stories. So once you understand that basic fact about dreams, now you have a way of whittling things down. When you're looking for the meaning and significance of the dream, you have a way of whittling down the possibilities and then finding ways of connecting what the dream is saying and connecting it with your life. This is the part that most people find the most difficult. So it's also what I really excel at as a teacher is, how do you connect the dream with yourself? How do you look at it and say it reflects an event in my life? it reflects something that went on between my ears. You know, it's something that was going on in my heart. It could be something that's going on in your body. Dreaming is this multi-layered phenomena, and it is loaded with significance and meaning. Now, you dream up to maybe 2 hours. If you sleep for 8 hours, you will dream in REM stage, the most vivid, intense dreaming, for 2 hours a night. That is a lot of content to process. Most of it you don't necessarily need to remember. Your dreams are very helpful for taking what is most important and pushing it to the forefront of your mind. So when you wake up in the morning and you have that 5 or 10 or 15 minutes of dream memories, those tend to be the ones that are the most important and that you can focus on. And I tell you, Dave, it can really open up your life. It can make you a more united and more harmonious person inside of yourself. It can help you to really reach for your goals and your ambitions for your life. It can give you more depth to yourself, to your relationships especially. It can improve your work, your family, your love life. These are all messages that are coming to you in your sleep about how to improve and how to grow as a person. It's in like a foreign language, and the first step is to learn how to decode that language of symbolism.
You mentioned REM sleep, that dreaming occurs during REM sleep. That stands for rapid eye movement, right? REM, R-E-M?
Yes, and it's the most vivid and intense dreaming. Now, you can dream during other stages of sleep. So you have four primary stages of sleep, and it begins after you close your eyes and you start to fall asleep, and then you go through the stages of light sleep and then deep sleep, which is this very recuperative sleep. And then there is the REM, rapid eye movement, and that was identified back in the 50s in sleep labs. They said, wow, when people are having these intense dreams, their eyes are moving. They would wake them up and they'd say, hey, what were you just dreaming? And they're like, oh my God, the monster was chasing me down the hall. They're like, okay, check mark next to the most intense and vivid dreaming here, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And so that has been a hallmark of that stage. And it is the... Yes, it's when the most vivid, intense dreams happen, but it's not necessarily the only stage when dreaming happens.
Is that always or sometimes close to the end of your sleep, REM sleep?
It's usually your sleep runs in 90-minute cycles, and the REM stage is usually, it's not the last, but what will happen is that you will get through a REM stage of dreaming, and then you will very quickly cycle through back to light sleep and then to waking up. So oftentimes you will wake up right out of a series of dreams. And here's one of the things that can help you to crack the code, Dave, is as you sleep, as you get more and more of these 90-minute cycles, approximately 90 minutes built up, your REM stages last longer. So in the beginning of the night, you tend to get more deep sleep, which is that recuperative sleep. It's really what your body needs. And then in the second half of the night, you get more of the REM sleep, and that's more of what your mind and your heart need. So as you sleep longer, you get more REM sleep. And when people ask me, hey, you know, JM, how do I dream more? And I go, sleep more, you know, and it's not just sleep, but good recuperative restful sleep. So that you have those long REM stages, you wake up right out of that dream state, and you have a head full of dream memories that you can then take and open up my book and analyze them.
We're talking, listeners, if you joined us a little bit late on the It's Your Turn program here on WISR today, we're talking with J.M. DeBord. He is an internationally recognized dream interpreter. He's a moderator of the Main Dreams Forum at reddit.com. That's one of the world's largest social sharing platforms online. And he's also the author of a new book entitled The Dream Interpretation Dictionary. We have some more time that we're able to chat with J.M. DeBord, but we have to take a quick break here. So let's do that. We'll pick up our conversation with him here on It's Your Turn on WISR right after these words. DBS Telecommunications, one of our sponsors on the program today. Have you heard of this company? Do you know them? DBS Telecommunications, we certainly know them here at the Butler Radio Network because we've utilized their expertise for many, many, many years. DBS Telecommunications is a telephone equipment dealer and a data network installer, serving Butler and the Pittsburgh area, too. They sell, install, and repair telephones for your office. They primarily install commercial telephone and voicemail systems. DBS has been serving the Butler area for the past 32 years. They specialize in phone systems custom designed in networks, including fiber optics. They specialize in high-quality hybrid digital telephone systems, 5-year warranties. They specialize in high-definition surveillance camera systems, multi-door entry access systems, overhead commercial paging. And they also provide cabling for voice, data, and cable television wiring in both industrial and commercial applications. Boy, they do good work. We use DBS Telecommunications here at the Butler Radio Network. Call them today for more information on their services. Phone number is 724-285-9088. And they're on the web, too, at dbs-tel.com. The Young Funeral Home of Butler invites you to stop by their Jefferson Street location, downtown Butler, to talk about pre-arrangements. Not the easiest thing to do, but necessary. And the Young family will walk you through the process, making it very comfortable and really easy to take care of. You'll experience peace of mind knowing that your wishes and plans will be carried out to the last detail. Call the Young Funeral Home in Butler today to make an appointment with a member of the Young family. Generations of the Young family have been caring for generations of Butler families for well over 40 years. The Young Funeral Home, West Jefferson Street in Butler.
If you're tired of being fed to death by the big banks, now is a great time to join the Butler Armco Employees Credit Union. With more free services like checking, online banking, mobile banking, and check deposits by phone, along with the best rates around on autos, home equity loans, and mortgages, you'll quickly see why over 26,000 members have chosen BAECU for their banking needs. It's never been easier to join, so stop in or join online at BAECU.com. You and your wallet will be happy you did. BAECU is federally insured by NCUA and is an equal opportunity lender.
Welcome back. Just joining us on It's Your Turn here on WISR. My name is Dave Malarkey. Our guest is J.M. DeBoard, author of the Dream Interpretation Dictionary, Symbols, Signs, and Meanings. You mentioned dream symbols in the first portion of our conversation, J.M. DeBoard. I've not done a whole lot of reading. I'm fascinated by dreams. I have been, but I've really not done a lot of reading or research. I'm not familiar with this term. What do you mean by dream symbol? I mean, I wake up sometimes, I remember dreams. I don't know where the symbol thing fits in.
Well, everything that is in your dream is basically a symbol, including the actions. So when you have the dream that you are back in your childhood home and the tornado sirens go off and you run down into your basement and your sister from that you don't talk to much these days, but when you were teenagers, you were best buddies, and she's down in the basement and she says, "We should have seen it coming." You know, it's all symbolism. It means something. Now, symbolism is the use of symbols to tell a story. And in my last example, this actually comes from an example that I use in my book, because I don't just explain dream symbols like a straightforward dictionary. I give as many examples as I possibly can, and I've accumulated thousands of them now after 6 years of being the main moderator at Reddit.com at the Dreams Forum. You know, I'm taking in many examples. I've interpreted many thousands of dreams. So in that last example, the childhood home symbolizes a time of life that's in the past. The tornado sirens going off symbolizes the dreamer's awareness of the fact that there is something from his past that is catching up with them. Like, you can't outrun a tornado, right? And then the basement. The basement is a place where things that are kept out of sight, out of mind. And in this case, there is something that he has been avoiding, and it is catching up with him. And then finally, the sister's statement. She's in the dream because they had a mutual experience with each other. When they lived together in that childhood home was when their parents divorced. It was something that they should have seen coming. But like many people who are in a situation like that, they were sort of willfully ignorant to it. They decided to not put together the clues that they were seeing that the relationship between their parents was deteriorating. So here it is 10 years later, he's having this dream. Well, you know, why now? And it's because this is bubbling up out of his subconscious portion of his mind, and it's telling him that it is ready for healing. If he is willing to put in the work and to go through the pain, then this stuff will work its way out of his system. It's sort of like something that got buried underneath the surface of your skin, and you go, wow, you know, that was 10 years ago. Why is it coming to the surface now? It's because the body's trying to get rid of it. Well, in this case, it's much the same way. So these are symbols, Dave, and all the symbols are put together. They all mean something. A symbol is something that represents something else. So it's a thing that really it represents an idea. And then symbolism is the use of those symbols in a story.
You mentioned Carl Jung and Sigmund Freud. I'm sure most of our listeners have at least heard of those gentlemen. They were both psychoanalysts. They both certainly did a lot of analyzing of dreams. And Carl Jung was a psychiatrist from Switzerland, Freud from Austria. He was a neurologist, a brain scientist. So obviously, these are very serious guys. What about today? Do you think that the concept of analyzing dreams has been cheapened somewhat by some of the, I don't know, some of these sleazy fakers that we see advertised or these people sometimes you see on TV commercials? What do you think about that? Do you think that's cheapened it in the minds of some people?
I think that it's become a little bit too easy to pop up your favorite search engine and say, okay, tell me what this means. You know, I get the requests all the time through my website and through Facebook, and you know, I'm happy to answer those requests. I have time for it. I think that we have lost the art of dream interpretation. It used to be a community tradition. It was something that everyone did. It was before we had the modern lighting. Basically, when the sun went down, so did you. You were getting into bed, and you might be in bed for 10 or 12 hours, but then you would have a little break in between. You would sleep for 4 hours. You'd get up for an hour or two. It was an old habit that we used to have, as we would write down our dreams. It was considered to be a spiritual practice, you know, and not just write down your dreams, but you would think about the meaning and significance of them. For a spiritually inclined person, they would pray about it. They would ask for insights about their dreams and use them as guidance. So it has become the impression is out there is that you can very simply analyze a dream by boiling it down to a few simple sentences, and that you're going to capture all of the meaning and significance of the dream in that. And the dream is really, it's an experience, and it can't be encapsulated so easily. It speaks to many layers of yourself as a person, your mind, your body, your spirit, your emotions. And so, yes, cheapen, that is a good word. I hate to, you know, yes, it is.
Yeah, and, well, just sometimes, you know, when I see this topic discussed or written about, sometimes the explanations are so broad, they're simplistic, they're extremely vague. It's like reading a horoscope, you know, it could apply to just about anything or anybody, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I do, and that's just a way for people who, it tells you they don't really know what they're talking about. And that's part of the reason why I wrote this book, is because we needed somebody who really knows what they're talking about to write a dream dictionary for the masses, because that is what the average person turns to. They don't know where to turn for good advice. If you go and read your Sigmund Freud, you are reading somebody who was writing to an academic audience. Jung, most of his writings was also for that, and many other books about dreams are either written for people who have, you know, backgrounds in dream psychology, or they are people who pretend to be these gurus and they really don't know what they're talking about.
A couple of other quick notes. Our time begins to run short, unfortunately. I got a ton of questions. Interpretation of dreams, worry about dreams, goes way back. Again, I'm no expert, but I know Julius Caesar worried about it. Heck, you could even go into Scripture. J.M. DeBoard, wasn't it Pontius Pilate's wife or something? Isn't that mentioned in the Scriptures that she had dreams and she was worried, right?
About betraying John the Baptist. It goes back to the Old Testament, too. The dream of Joseph in predicting for Pharaoh that the seven starving cows, meant that it was time for him to store up the bounty from their harvest.
Yes.
And be prepared for seven lean years. Yes, there is a long tradition of dream interpretation, and also of using dreams as a sort of oracle to predict the future, which they do have that ability, by the way. I've pretty much proven it at this point.
What about sometimes, because I dream, not every night, or at least I don't remember it. Sometimes it's extremely vivid. Sometimes it's in color. Is that unusual?
You know, before color television, most people reported that they dreamed in black and white. And as we brought color into our television lives, it also came into our dream lives. So most people report dreaming in color, but some still do report dreaming in black and white.
What's the difference between a dream and a nightmare?
Well, a nightmare is a dream on steroids. A nightmare is those really vivid, shocking dreams. And there's usually a message behind it that is trying to get through. Think of it as really turning up the volume. If someone speaks at a normal volume to you and you don't get the message and it's a really urgent message, what are they going to do next? They're going to scream.
Hmm. What about sometimes I get frustrated because I've had a dream, I wake up, and then, you know, I don't know, a couple of hours pass, you get ready for work, you know, brush your teeth, take a shower, whatever. You say, gosh, what was that? What was that I was dreaming about? Is it okay to write it down? Do you think that's a good idea if you had a particularly vivid dream to jot a couple of notes down about it before you forget?
Absolutely. It not only helps you to remember, and your dream memories are, they're sort of oiled up in a way, is it's easy for them to slip out of your mental grasp. So write them down as you remember them, because the next moment you might not remember them. But also, it gets you in the habit and the practice, and it sends a message deep inside of yourself that you are serious about figuring out your dreams. Your dreaming mind is part of the unconscious mind, which is 95% or more of your total mind. Your conscious mind is just a very small part of the picture. It's just the tip of the iceberg. So really what you're trying to do is establish this relationship between the conscious ego mind and the larger unconscious mind, the big picture of who and what you really are.
Listeners, if the name J.M. DeBorg sounds vaguely familiar with it, but you just can't place it, you may have heard him. He's been on with George Norrie on Coast to Coast AM, the overnight show. In fact, he's been on radio and TV all over the world. He's published a new book. It's called The Dream Interpretation Dictionary, Symbols, Signs, and Meanings by J.M. DeBord. Available the regular places we find books these days, J.M.?
Yeah, but you know, your Barnes and Nobles, your Amazons, and then it's in bookstores around the country. And I'm getting responses from people in other parts of the world now, too. So this is really cool, as I know that this thing is going out to places in Europe, it's in Africa, it's in South America. So it's appearing all over. And so you can get it through the standard places. It's on the bookshelves waiting for you.
That's right. We forget. We're not just dreaming here in this country. We're dreaming in South America and Africa and China, all over the world. Yeah. J.M. DeBord, fascinating to chat with you. I appreciate the time today. If you're looking for him online, it's DeBord, J.M. DeBord, author of The Dream Interpretation Dictionary. Thank you, sir. Nice to talk with you today.
Thank you, Dave. It's my pleasure. Tell your listeners to drop by dreams123.net. That's my website, and it has everything that they're looking for there.
Maybe we'll talk again sometime. I'd like it.
I would love to. Thank you, Dave. Great questions. I appreciate it.
Sure. So long now.
Take care.
Attention all Central Electric Cooperative members. This is a peak alert announcement. We anticipate a peak demand today between now and 6 p.m. Please conserve power by turning off all non-essential electric items.
It's a great night for a ball game at Kelly Automotive Park. Join the Butler Blue Sox for a doubleheader as they take on Chillicothe for Stalsmith's Financial Kids Run the Bases Night. First pitch at 5:05. Tickets at the gate or at butlerbluesox.net.
Join us on Wednesday, July 12th for Butler Radio Network Night at the Blue Sox game. Rock out to a live performance by Butler's own Lions in America. Play games like Cornhole, Speed Stack, and a little something we like to call Name That Tune. Lots of chances to win some awesome prizes. Kelly Automotive Park, the fun begins at 5 p.m. First pitch at 6:35 p.m. Come on an empty stomach so you can enjoy the Dollar Dog Night. You don't want to miss the summer night of excitement. See you at the ballpark.
The Butler Blue Sox will donate $2, and the City of Butler Stadium Authority will donate $1. It's waiving the $1 ticket surcharge for this game, for a total of $3 per fan attending this game. All funds will be donated to the Butler County Relief Initiative, or BERRI, for the immediate benefit of the city's flood victims. The United Way of Butler County established Barry for helping meet the immediate needs of local residents whose lives have been significantly impacted by an emergency.
Welcome back, friends. Nice to be with us on the It's Your Turn program today. Our next guests are here to talk about events coming up, sponsored by the Butler County Chamber of Commerce, and we welcome the president of the Butler Chamber. That's Stan Kosciuszko. We missed you last month.
Yes, because it was a holiday.
Yeah. Well, and we had...
Last month I sent my kids.
That's right. We had...
I guess they did a good job. I was listening to them at work. And they did. They made me proud.
Well, it's good to see you again at any rate.
It's nice to be back. Yeah. It's funny to be here on a the other Tuesday, second Tuesday.
That's right. Ordinarily, we would have gotten together last week, but it was the 4th of July. Doesn't that seem like it was long ago, though?
Yes.
It was
Seems like it was forever ago.
Yeah.
I agree.
Like ancient history already. Also with us is Karen Brackett. Karen, it's always good to see you. Nice to have you here.
Well, thank you for having us. I always enjoy coming here and talking about, you know, different things that are happening in the community.
Karen is with Next Tier Bank as vice president there and also long active in the chamber activities, chamber board, and chamber events. And one of the big ones is coming up in early August. All of a sudden, that's only a few weeks away, 2 or 3 weeks away. It's the ladies' golf outing.
Our ladies' golf outing. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we love it.
Now, this is relatively new in comparison with the annual chamber golf outing, the one that goes started back around the Civil War.
The annual outing started actually with the Revolution. General Kosciuszko was in it.
We're joking because that's one of the oldest Butler County Chamber events.
It is.
Chamber golf outing.
61 years for the annual outing.
Yeah. And it was
ladies,
wonderful.
Yeah, the ladies is...
On Wednesday, August 2nd.
How many years is that?
This will be the 23rd.
Oh, wow.
So that's one of the oldest ladies' golf outings.
Quite a history going, too, then. Yeah. And this has become, Karen, a very popular event.
Absolutely. And we really look forward to having this, not only for the community, but for the women coming out. And we'd also like to recognize some of the sponsors. Our biggest sponsor is Farmers National Bank. They're our official event sponsor. But mm-hmm. a special thank you also goes to Deal Toyota, Minuteman Press of Butler, Thomas Miller Funeral Home, Sunnyview Nursing and Rehabilitation Center, and T.J. McCants at Heffron Tillison and West Banco. And also Culligan Water. They donate the water for the course.
This will be at Conley's, right? Conley's?
It'll be at Conley's.
Yeah.
Yes.
On Route 8 South. Wonderful course for an outing, by the way.
Yeah, it's a shotgun start.
Mm-hmm. Do you play golf, Karen?
No.
But you show up at the outing.
I do show up at the outings. I'm a big supporter of them, and I understand, you know, a lot about golf, but I'm just not a good golfer. So I'd rather be on the sidelines cheering everyone else
there
on.
There are people, I know this, who will come to a golf outing, even if they don't play, or maybe they're injured, they can't play golf, they come for the dinner, you know?
Yeah, this one's nice. We do, since it starts a little bit later, the shotgun starts at 11. We do a brunch, so the ladies can go in and sit down
even
and have
better.
Brunch.
Mm-hmm. Even better.
So we don't have to get up as early.
Yeah, or they can pack the brunch, box it, and take it and put it on their cart.
Mm-hmm.
And it's 18 holes of golf, and then we have refreshments out on the course. And then a cocktail party that's sponsored by T.J. McCants at Heffron Tillotson. Mm-hmm. And then a dinner, and the dinner is always really nice. They have a fairly new chef out there at Conley's, mm-hmm. and he just loves working with me because what I tell him is, cook what you like to eat, cook what you want to show off. I make mm-hmm. no restrictions for him, and the dinners have been exceptional. The last few events we've had out there have been really nice. So I know it'll be something that that everyone will enjoy. And then we have beer and, you know, wine coolers, all sorts of refreshments. And we have a lot of prizes.
Mm-hmm.
That have been donated. Now, we give skill prizes, of course, first, second, closest to the pin, your regular prizes.
Mm-hmm.
We also do just a mystery foursome. We pull one of the foursome's name out of a hat, and they get a prize as a foursome. Because not everybody's an exceptional golfer. Some of the women are better than others, and we don't want to, you know, see somebody not win. And then everybody who attends the dinner gets a ticket. And we pull dinner prizes, and we have about 70 dinner prizes.
Yeah.
We'll probably have 80 golfers, so everybody's going to win something.
Everybody's going to walk away with a nice
walk away
prize.
With an umbrella, mm-hmm. a dozen golf balls,
I play a lot of golf. I played golf since I was a kid and much enjoy the game. I've played with a lot with women of varying skill levels. I know that there are times that women like to get together and play among themselves, and there's nothing wrong with that.
Right.
Women use different tees than the men do.
Yes.
Sometimes it's awkward whenever they're, you know, you're playing in a mixed tournament. That they're separated in professional golf. The women have separate tournaments, different tees.
Mm-hmm.
Women can't hit it as far as men can.
Right.
It's not because they're less skilled. It's because, generally speaking, they're a little smaller.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's great that the women get together. Plus, there's a certain social aspect. Karen, you wouldn't, even if you don't play golf, you can understand that. There's a social aspect to the game of golf.
You know what? Absolutely. Especially when you're a working woman in the community, you don't always have a lot of downtime. So this seems like a nice time to get together and chat with other, you know, women executives and, you know, just kind of shoot the breeze, for lack of better words.
I agree.
So if anyone is interested, we are still accepting reservations for golfers, and you can call the chamber at 724-283-2222 or even email jennifer@butlercountychamber.com.
And it's only $90 a golfer.
I was I know at the recent Bantam Jeep Heritage Festival, they started something new this year. They had a obstacle course just for women in their Jeeps. They had a clever name for it. I forget what it was right now. Babes and Bantam Babes or something like that.
Oh, okay.
But similar. You know, so why do we always have to compete against the men? Let's just do it amongst ourselves and, you know, have a good time. So.
Right, absolutely.
Yeah, sometimes people take, you know, issues to a strange degree. Like, we still support the Women's Entrepreneurial Center at Chatham University. And I think Karen, as a businesswoman, will agree that women sometimes have different issues than men.
Absolutely.
Men have different issues than women. So it's not a sexism thing. It's not a feminism thing.
Absolutely.
It's a fact of life thing.
Right.
Now, we've had a lot more women golfing in our annual outing lately. Since the women who have golfed say, oh, it's fine. It's fun to be in a mixed foursome because our golf outing is not a, you know, a cutthroat outing. So they come and have fun with other business people, but this women's outing is something different, and they like just being together.
Well, that's why I mentioned that. I play a lot of golf. I'd never play golf by myself. I can't imagine playing golf by yourself. It's a social game. You talk with people, you know, have some refreshments afterwards. That's part of the game.
This is always fun. And, of course, they all like to get on my case. So
can't imagine that.
You know.
Well, that's because you're wonderful, Steve.
You can still make a reservation if you have a group. That's fine. I'm sure if it's an individual, you'll pair them up with somebody.
We'll pair them up with somebody. If anyone's listening out there that belongs to a league, we give a 10% discount if you belong to a women's league at one of the golf courses. So just let us know that, and you'll get a 10% off.
And Karen, I wasn't taking a note whenever you mentioned how to register. Do you call?
Sure. You can either call the chamber at 724-283-2222 or go and email jennifer@butlercountychamber.com. And you could also download a registration form online.
And we have had so many rainy days thus far this summer. I'm very Pollyannish about this. I like to say, well, think of the increased odds of great weather now for the rest of the summer.
That's right.
Because we've had so much rain in May and June. And, you know, think of how great it's going to be the last half of the summer.
If we organized our lives about what might happen, we would sit at home and never leave the lounge chair. So, and why worry about things you can't control?
Ladies' golf outing. Now, there's another event that's coming up we'll tell you about in a moment or so. But I wanted to mention the Community Champion Award, because we just did a story about this on the news. It was today, I think. Maybe yesterday. But this is quite a prestigious honor that the Chamber bestows each year for, I don't know, 15 years now, I think. And it's been announced that the recipient this year is going to be the Butler County Historical Society. Nice choice, Stan. Nice choice.
Yeah, I was very pleased when the committee said this is who we're going to give it to this year. Last year it was the Maradon Museum. But, I mean, you can't drive through downtown and not recognize the stellar performance of the Historical Society.
Absolutely.
When you see all of those murals.
Yeah.
I mean, that was just the icing on the cake.
Yes.
Quite honestly, without the murals, they are very deserving of the award for all mm-hmm. they do for the historic preservation they have done here in Butler County. But last year's Wall Dog project and the murals, Chamber thought they deserve it. They deserve it this year. I would have loved to have had Pat on the show today, mm-hmm. but I wasn't able to contact her. Maybe we'll get her on afterwards.
Pat Collins is the executive director of the Historical Society, and I want to tell you something. She's a treasure, too. You know, this whole mural Wall Dogs project was her baby.
She is a powerhouse.
Yeah.
She's really a powerhouse.
She saw this somewhere at a convention she was at.
Such
a she was the one
woman.
That brought them to spearhead of bringing them to Butler.
You're 100% right.
Yeah.
Yeah. She was basically her and her board. She was, I'd like to say single-handedly, she pushed it, and she really did. It was her mission to have it done, and the fruits of her labor are spectacular.
No, it was
people
just about,
call us all the time. We need the itinerary. Let me know where all the murals are. Bing, bing, boom.
Yeah. It was about a year ago now that I think about it.
Yes.
It was the end of July last
year.
Yeah. Latter part of July.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Now, what my board decided 3 years ago was, why go to a banquet hall to give the award? We set up a tent on the Diamond, downtown Butler. We do the lunch early because every Wednesday in the summer, the symphony has a concert
mm-hmm.
out on the park. And so we get to give the award, have lunch, and listen to the symphony. What better way to spend an afternoon?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And since we tent it, if it rains, don't worry about it. We're going to be fine. Fairground will come and they do hot dogs and hamburgers, typical picnic lunch,
mm-hmm.
normal food, nothing fancy, just a good time and a time to honor the Historical Society.
Mm-hmm.
So,
I was just had some visitors in from out of town 2 weekends ago who saw those, and you can't help but comment on them the first
right.
time you see them. The one they noticed was the milkshake ad across from the new parking garage. That's
yes.
way up on that building.
Yeah.
Oh, Diners and Drive-In.
Yeah,
yeah, it's
yeah.
beautiful. And then right down is the Coca-Cola.
That's the
yes.
next one I saw because
yes.
we were going down
Bingo.
McCain Street. Yeah, and they just jump out at you.
Yeah.
They're just really super. This award, the community... I'm searching
Community Champion.
Community Champion. Thank you,
mm-hmm.
Stan. As Stan mentioned, this will be the 15th year for it. It is very prestigious. And when you look down the list of organizations, groups, agencies who have won it, I know the Butler Little Theater got the award, I don't know, 3 or 4 years ago or something like that.
Butler Little
they
Theater
have it
yes.
still framed, hanging in the lobby.
Yes, they
so
do.
So that anyone who comes to any of their shows, they
yes.
see it. It's hanging right there by the yeah. doors.
Yeah.
Very nice.
You know, it's for me personally, it's heartwarming because the Chamber of Commerce recognizing an organization to them is prestigious, which means to me that they value the opinion of the Chamber of Commerce
mm-hmm.
and the support that the Chamber of Commerce members who are supporting their organizations give them. So the connection is nice.
Mm-hmm.
Plus, we're firm supporters of other nonprofit organizations. You know, we gave an award to the Parking Authority, to the Shade Tree Commission, to Pullman Park. So many of them have been well-deservedly, recognized for that.
Shade Tree Commission, I can remember when we... I just came across the Wayne Street Viaduct a couple of nights ago. They're repaving Route 356 through
yes.
town.
Yes.
Starting at the top of Center Avenue Hill, you know, where that new Sheets is, and the whole way down and then through town and to Route 8 there. I was coming across the Wayne Street Viaduct, and I was thinking how lucky we are of all the new bridges we've received
yes.
in the Butler area over, the past decade.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
I'm not talking about little dinky bridges. I'm talking about major
right.
bridge projects.
Center Avenue, Main Street Viaduct,
yeah.
I mean, and they're beautiful.
Yes.
And we were in the ones that have happened since 2002. I've been in on the planning meetings. So PennDOT has been very sensitive to asking the business community, what would you like for the design? Here's 6 lampposts. You guys decide which one you think is the best.
Mm-hmm.
Here's 5 different finishes. You guys decide which one's the best.
Nice.
Where a lot of communities get caught up is they want something that's not one of the standard
mm-hmm.
5 or 6 that PennDOT can offer, and then that might push you back. But, no, we've been very, very fortunate. Yeah.
Well, the reason that came to mind is there was a little tiny plot of land at the end of that bridge when the project was finished. Remember they had to move a road?
Yes.
And take down a couple of buildings and everything.
That's the one the AM Rotary Club adopted.
Yeah, yeah. and they put some trees and flowers and stuff in there. And the Shade Tree Commission was the one that spearheaded that. They said, let's get some people together.
And we have the most beautiful welcome sign in the state of Pennsylvania because Tom Pinay did it.
Yes.
It's spectacular. Yeah. So,
as you said, Chamber likes to honor good work being done by local groups, local organizations.
Exactly. I'm going to have to ask him to start designing this award for me. I know Tom, he'll do it. But the award is always very particular for that organization that won. So we're going to be happy to honor them tomorrow.
I know there are many other counties have historical societies. I know Butler County is one of the most active and has been for many years.
Definitely one of the most active,
They've got, four or five different sites that they own and operate. The Little Red Schoolhouse, the Cooper Cabin. And by the way, that's another one of the murals of the Cooper Cabin downtown.
Well, the Little Red Schoolhouse, where there's the Becky Smith Memorial Garden is there. We'll be dedicating that sometime soon.
Excellent.
So all of those sites. So it's very personal to us and also to the community.
We need to take a break.
So, Pat, if you're listening, congratulations. I'll see you tomorrow. We're red, white, and blue.
We need to check lottery numbers. We have another couple of things we want to talk about, though, and including another big event that's coming up, sponsored by the Young Professionals under the umbrella of the Chamber. And we'll do all that here on It's Your Turn on WISR in just a couple of minutes right after these words.
Midday lottery numbers for you today. The pick 2 is 9393. The pick 3 is 249249. The pick 4 is 3825. The pick 5 is 53161. The wild ball for each of those is 7. The treasure hunt 3, 8, 14, 18, and 19. Estimated jackpot for tomorrow's treasure hunt is $30,000.
Moving from my home of 50 years was a little scary, but I wasn't safe at home anymore, and my daughter with her busy life, children and grandchildren, it wasn't fair for me to expect so much from her.
We looked together to find a new home and discovered New Haven Court at Clearview.
What made the difference were the employees and the residents we met. The residents said it was a great place to live.
New Haven Court at Clearview, a great place to live because it's a great place to work. 888-261-5753 or visit IntegraCare.com.
Hey, I want to tell you about one of our other sponsors on the program, Gone Postal Butler. This is your neighborhood-friendly shipping center. And this can be a real bag sometimes. Ever wanted to ship something? Package it up. Where's that? Ethel, where's that tape that we use for shipping stuff? Do you have a box? And the answer is always, no, I don't know. Here's the services offered by Gone Postal Butler. They will package your items for shipping through FedEx, UPS, U.S. Postal Service, whatever. They have lots of other services that they offer as well. Copying, scanning, faxing, mailbox rentals, custom boxes, greeting cards, an official notary, even lottery tickets. They're located on Shockey Lane, right behind Kings and Villa Grande. It's right off Newcastle Road, okay? You know where that is? 140 Shockey Lane. You can call them to get more information on their services. Phone number is 724-841-0044. And it's nice. They're friendly. And what a nice service they offer, too. Packaging your items for shipping. Gone Postal Butler. Gone Postal Butler. 724-841-0044, your friendly neighborhood shipping center. We're chatting with Stan
Cozen. I love their name.
Yeah.
Great scares name. You at first.
it's very clever. It's
but it is
extremely
a nice,
clever.
It is a nice location.
I have a friend who just started a company, and this is a free plug for her. It's called OC Detailing for your car.
Very good.
Yeah.
Well, you know, you got to hand it to people to come up with a name like that.
You got
absolutely.
That.
Absolutely. Huh?
In today's society, you gotta be
gotta
an attention getter. Yeah,
you gotta
stand up. Yeah. Stan Kosciuszko is here, and Karen Brackett from the Butler County. Karen is from Next Year Bank. Stan's the president of the Butler County Chamber of Commerce.
We may as well put her on payroll. She's always in my office, and next year she's going to be chair of the board, so she'll have to do triple duty.
You'll
be CV a lot. Yes,
she'll be moving up if the nominating committee approves that. So we'll see.
I have a sneaky feeling
that it'll happen.
A very active part of the Butler County Chamber of Commerce is the young professionals, and they have something going coming up here, not too distant future.
They do. On the 20th, July 20th, they're having a night at the Blue Sox. So it's going to start at, well, the game starts at 6:35, but they're having food, and then it's dollar beer night. Tickets are only $7. But you can come and network with like professionals in the community. Now, they encourage all types, all ages of business people to come here because they'll be on the party deck. Mm-hmm. They've rented that, mm-hmm. and it really mm-hmm. is a lot of fun. You know, rain or shine, show goes on. If anybody wants to sponsor something involved in this, they can contact me at the chamber, 724-283-2222. The person that chaired this is the co-chair of the Young Professionals. It's Kyle Hilfiger, and he works at Farmers National Bank. Unfortunately, his mother passed away, so my sympathies go out to Kyle. Mm. So if you email him, it'll take a while to get back to you, so I suggest you contact the chamber. Or look at their Facebook page, just... Mm-hmm. Plug in Butler County Young Professionals.
And this is Thursday, July 20th.
Thursday, July 20th.
Which may sound like it's a long ways off, but it really isn't. It's next week, yeah.
Yeah, and it's the night after Hearth and Home is sponsoring a mixer mm-hmm. for chamber members and guests at Hearth and Home in Zeeland Opal from 5:30 to 7:30. And that's Nancy Reeder and her family. This will be the second one they had. They had one last year. That was unbelievable. It was so nice. And mm-hmm. it's right in her showroom. She sets the food and beverages up all over the showroom. So you can come and network and shop, and there'll be some door prizes. Mm-hmm. And it is free. Mm-hmm. All we ask is that you call the chamber and say, hey, I'm coming. Mm-hmm. You don't have to be a chamber member to attend this. What happens is a lot of non-chamber members attend these events and then see the benefits of the networking and of the chamber, and then they end up joining. So we encourage any business person within earshot of this radio station to come on July 19th, 5:30 to 7:30. Nancy Reeder is more than happy to host you at Hearth and Home mm-hmm. in Zeeland Opal.
And that's right on Main Street in Zeeland.
Right on Main Street. Yeah. Beautiful.
It's just beautiful, really a nice place. Show. Yeah, it is. And that, by the way, is a week from tomorrow. So we have to get used to the fact that we're almost halfway through July already. We will be this weekend.
And my board says, Stan, things calm down in the summer, don't they? I say, no. You know, maybe they do in one aspect. This Friday, I have my last leadership session, yes. which is Northern Butler County Day, and then I'll have that group come in and
wrapping up for another year already, huh?
Wrapping up for another year. I have 22 signed up for next year. They start in September. So I'll come in and talk about that. But that program is just going like gangbusters. We had a new leadership board, some new board members, and it's just busy. It's nice. Keeps me young, David. These young people keep me young. It's great. I love it.
Well, the young professionals, that's a nice idea to have a Blue Sox outing. Baseball is a game that you do converse. You can network while the game is going on. You don't do that in a basketball game because it's bing, bing, bing. It's right. up and down the floor. It's too fast. Baseball is relaxing. People chat between pitches. It's that kind of a thing, you know. And if you don't enjoy the pace of baseball, then you don't understand baseball.
That's right.
It's then not the same as other sports.
It's un-American.
That's right. You're un-American.
And Pullman Park, well, Kelly Park is just spectacular. Every time I go there, it's like, this is in downtown Butler.
It's a beautiful place.
I dug out, last Friday. It was after the flooding in the West End. I dug out because I knew that one of the Butler County Historical Society calendars from a few years ago had pictures of floods back before they moved the Conequenessing Creek when it was bad all the time. Okay. And I found that it was actually 2 years ago. It was in the 2015 calendar. And I was flipping through, hunting for the flood pictures, and there was a picture of old Pullman Park before it was renovated. It's now Kelly Automotive Park.
Right.
Man, that place was starting to fall in.
It was starting to cave in.
It was really in extremely mm-hmm. poor condition. Yeah. Thank goodness we have beautiful new ballpark now.
Yeah.
So the Butler Blue Sox outing with the Butler County Young Professionals is Thursday of next week. Wednesday of next week is the Business After Hours networking event at Hearth and Home in Zeeland Opal. Just call the chamber for info on any of these.
And then the same night as the Blue Sox game. Unfortunately, we're having the Slippery Rock Business Association is having their family picnic that night.
Mm-hmm.
And it's being hosted by North Country Brewing at their canning company.
Mm.
So that should be fun. They always have a family picnic. The businesses bring their family members, and they just will have a good time and a nice cookout. And that also is free. So that's for chamber members and Slippery Rock Business Association members and people that do business up there in Slippery Rock.
Mm-hmm.
Just give us a call, come out and have a nice picnic.
And that operates under your wing, too, under the wing.
Yeah,
of
we administer that. That was another one. That idea was birthed 11 years ago. The Young Professionals, 8 years ago. Leadership Butler County, of course, has been going on for 25 years. It's been revamped quite a bit.
Mm-hmm.
The Community Champion Award, like you said, was 11 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
So and I'm proud of a lot of things we've started since I've been there since 2002. Yeah.
Nice.
May
to,
they well continue into the next millennium.
That's a ways off yet. I'm still trying to calculate years from the previous.